please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text which engages us, the epistle, we proclaim Christ and Him crucified, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all of His energy, which works so powerfully in me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, since our retirement, my wife Catherine and I take a trip to some place we haven't been to before. We have been blessed to visit Iceland, Alaska, and Hawaii. Some people ask why Iceland. I'm still trying to figure that out. During those trips, we have spent many an hour at the airport. And one time, we were eating at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, and I was reminded of when I had lunch one time, felt like a year, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport a few years ago. Now, you haven't lived until you have experienced the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Some say it's called Dallas-Fort Worth because what they do, they drop you off in Dallas, then you have to walk to Fort Worth to get your next flight. It's incredible. The Dallas-Fort Worth Airport can be fatal. It doesn't have concourses. It has mazes and labyrinths. Lobbies empty into catacombs that go on for miles. People have been known to go into that airport and never come. Once after a few hours of wandering the mazes of the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, I finally came across a map. There was actually a map of the airport there, but it took the whole wall. And I was looking for that little sign that says, "You are here." Looking and looking, that almost took an hour itself. Well, I finally found it. I found the "You are here" sign, and I began looking for the gate where I have to go for my next flight. And when I saw where I had to go from where I was, the words "uh-oh" swelled up in my mind. A walk from Milwaukee to Sheboygan in a blinding snowstorm would have been easier. But I had no choice. Took a deep breath, grabbed my suitcase in one hand and my backpack in the other, and sent my face towards gate number 666. Believe it. I began to wonder if I'm going to make it or not. 3 hours later, my knees began to ache. Many hours later, my hands and my back was killing me. Then I thought I was seeing things. I thought I saw my gate number appear in the distance, but then it disappeared just as fast. After many hours of going down the same concourse, I had discarded my bag. I was just carrying my essentials in my backpack. There was luggage all over, just people leaving their stuff from walking so long. I was about to forget ever making it home again, and I heard cheering. Everybody was getting excited. It was coming from the corridor up ahead. People were shouting. Some were running. What was it? What sight could strengthen the hope of these tired and despairing pilgrims? What sight could strengthen exhausted legs? Was it a hotel? Was it an empty seat in an airport restaurant? Was it a flight leaving on time? What were they cheering about? Ah, no, it was something far better. As I turned the corner, I saw it. My face lit up like a night sky on the 4th of July. I wiped my brow, straightened my back, I hastened my pace. My heart soared. Now I knew I would make it, for there in the distance, covered with lights, and I think it was plated in gold. I can't remember. It was a people mover. Yes, a people mover. The yellow brick road of the airport. It's the bridge across the Jordan. It's that downhill to the marathon. It's the fourth quarter for the athlete. It was a people mover, one of those moving sidewalks where you get on. It was a place of rest. Once you're on a people mover, you don't have to move. It moves for you, but you're still going somewhere. And while you're catching your breath, it's carrying your body. It's also a path of multiplied movement. For when you begin walking, right, every step is doubled. I mean, you go flying by those poor people that are not on it. I mean, it's great. Moving tracks maybe two steps out of your one step. That would have taken hours. Now only takes minutes. What a difference that people movement makes on your attitude. You actually start to whistle as you walk. You actually smile. And your fatigue is forgotten. The gloom is gone. Troops of travelers wave to each other. They even ask you, where are you headed? Wow, what a difference. And most important, you start to believe that you will reach your destination. Yeah, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but just a little bit. But I can never overstate the power of discovering the strength needed for the journey. What I discovered about the airport, you can discover about your journey in life. No matter how you travel through life, it can be exhausting, it can be painful, it can be tired. Wouldn't it be great if you could discover a people mover for your heart, for your soul? Well, St. Paul did. St. Paul did, but he didn't call it a people mover. But then again, Paul never traveled in a modern day airport. I mean, he did say, however, that there is a power. There is a power that works in you as you live your life in Christ. Look, it's right here. He says, we proclaim Christ and Him crucified, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all of His energy, which works so powerfully in me. Not Paul's aim. He wants to present everyone perfect in Christ. Paul dreamed of the day each person would be saved in Christ. And what was his method? Well, counseling and teaching, listening and preaching. And what was Paul's words, verbs, nouns, sentences? The same equipment you and I have. Not much has really changed, has it? Was it easier then to share Christ than now? I don't think so. I mean, Paul still called it work. To this end, I labor, he wrote. Labor means work. Real work. Working, sharing Christ means being the best you can with the talents that you have from God. It doesn't mean going on the street corner and accosting everybody that goes by and say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, some people have that talent, but a lot of us don't. So what do? We feel bad because we can't do it? No. You just do the best you can with the talents that God has gifted you. Even if it's just visiting a friend who needs a word from the Lord. Or it means a listening ear to someone who's hurting. It means people who need a teacher. It means preparing for Bible classes. It means giving up one thing for another. Sometimes that is a tough thing to do on Sunday morning when it's beautiful outside, and the wind's not blowing, the sun is shining, and you love to play golf. Or you love to take a run early in the morning when church goes on. Or long telling you about this, but you know what I mean. Some things you don't give up. And what did St. Paul do for strength? How did he do it? What was his source of strength? Paul says he worked with all of his energy, God's energy, who so powerfully works in him and us. As Paul worked, so did God. As Paul labored, it was God working through him. And it's the same with you when you do God's work in His kingdom. As you work, so does the Father. It means being the best you can. If you're a mechanic, be the best mechanic you can. That is serving God in His kingdom. If you're an office worker, be the best you can. Even if you're retired, there are people waiting for you to go up to them and say hello, start a conversation. They might not have a chance to talk to anybody for a whole week. And listen to them. Talk to them. Each day you are a billboard for Christ in your everyday life. Know that with Christ, every step is multiplied. Divine dividends are paid. Like the people mover, God energizes your efforts. He even restores you on the journey now and then. I mean, we hear His holy word and we're refreshed with this holy meal. And like the people mover, God moves you forward by sending His Holy Spirit to you. Sometimes life feels like we're stuck at the Dallas Fort Worth Airport, just wandering around looking for some kind of relief. And even when you do, you might be too tired to walk. God assures you that you are still moving ahead. You have His promise that He will get you home. He bets His Son life on it. He has given you the body and blood of Christ to strengthen you so that you can go out there and be the best you can. It's also strengthening to discover that you're not alone in your journey. I know that personally by being with you. And every time I think of you, I smile. Because you are an incredible congregation. You are faithful to the word. And you have that in your heart. And He strengthens me, He strengthens you. He is always with you while you spend these days here on this earth. He is always there forgiving and encouraging you. And not only that, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is what? Says in the Catechism, calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies you. This is for you and others so that you can all come together and be a congregation. And to come together to thank and praise and sing to God who made it all possible. God sent Jesus so that you can have a reservation of a trip of a lifetime. Destination, heaven. What a flight that will be. The next flight home. So next time you need a rest from your journey, go ahead and take the rest. God will keep you going in the right direction. God will help you remain focused on the cross and your final destination. And next time you make progress, thank God. Thank God for that. He's the one providing power. He gets the credit. Give it to Him. And next time you want to give up, don't. Please don't give up. Because right around the next corner, you may be surprised if you find, besides, you've got a flight home. You don't want